I would now like Professor David Jones to speak in more detail on the topic of our response to the DPP's consultation on assisted suicide. When he's finished, then we'll take any questions and as many questions as you wish. David.
Well, the bishops have agreed this statement. It's quite a long statement, but that's because it's quite a complex document that the DPP has put out. But in the midst of the complexity are real issues, are important issues. So it's an attempt both to realise the complexity and actually point out some dangers which, if they're not addressed, could give people the wrong impression and could lead us down a path towards the acceptance of assisted suicide, towards a legalisation of assisted suicide. So even though this is not, it's important to say, this is not the legalisation of assisted suicide, nevertheless, if some of the things which are in here are left in here, it could give people the wrong impression. It could undermine the law, and then we would find we have the risk of going Dutch, as it were, that just as what happened in Holland was they started with a decision not to prosecute and then they went on to legalisation. So the DPP has discretion about prosecution, and it's right he has discretion about prosecution, because there are some very difficult cases where people, the way in which they've assisted is very indirect, is very marginal, and they've acted against their better judgment, they've been under a lot of pressure. It's not always in the interest to prosecute. But it's very important in the way that's framed that it doesn't give the impression that certain categories of people are less worthy of protection. So we agree that there should be guidance, but it's important how it's framed, and that those elements which refer to disability, explicitly refer to disability, need to be taken out. It's an equalities question. And those questions which also... At a certain point, there's a suggestion that being a spouse as such is a reason not to prosecute. Now, in the context of domestic violence, we no longer think that. And I think, to be realistic, we shouldn't say purely the basis of a formal relationship, whether that's as a carer or a spouse or a partner, purely the formal relationship shouldn't in itself be a reason. You have to actually say something about the reality of the situation, not simply that somebody who thinks that because they're a carer, then if they might encourage the person they're caring for to commit suicide, then they're not going to be liable. It's very important that these categories, the category of a spouse or carer, the category of the disabled, that they're taken out. And what's left is reasons why the person's more vulnerable and there's a stronger reason to prosecute, and reasons why somebody's the person who's assisted has been in a very difficult position, and it's clear that they haven't done so with any malice, and it's clear that they have actually tried to dissuade the person, but nevertheless they have in some way materially cooperated where it might not be in the interest to prosecute. And we do point out in the document here, when guidance was given on the Daniel James case, people might remember Daniel James, a very tragic case of this young man who took his own life, and his parents accompanied him, and there was a question about whether to prosecute or not, and the DPP unusually gave his reasons why he didn't prosecute. At no point in his reasons did he state that Daniel James was disabled and that's why he didn't prosecute. At no point did he say that, because he didn't wish to give the impression, and the law shouldn't give the impression, that people who are in that sort of state, it's more reasonable for them to commit suicide. We're recognising that he's got a difficult job to do, but also that there have been some things which have crept in here which need to be taken out. This is a document for consultation, so the bishops are responding very forthrightly to this consultation and would encourage all men and women of goodwill to respond to the consultation, to say, yes, we need some guidance, but there are certain things in this guidance that need to change.
Thank you very much, David. Now, anybody like to pursue any of these matters? And if you just say where you're from, that would just give a help. Simon?
Simon Caldwell, Catholic Herald. Given that the Director of Public Prosecutions appears a bit compromised because he's been quite widely criticised for bringing us to the situation in the first place, do you think it would have been better if somebody else had been given the job of overseeing the drafting of these guidelines?
Well, I think the fact is that the High Court asked him to do it. So he's got a difficult job. And what we're trying to do is make a reasoned contribution to the task that faces him. And I take it that that's the purpose of the consultation. He is seriously consulting, and we want to make a serious contribution, as Professor Jones just said, recognising that he has a very difficult job to do. He has not been asked to change the law. It's not within his competence. I'm sure he doesn't want to. He's been asked to make it clearer, the process that he will undertake in coming to a decision to prosecute or not. Do you want to add to that, David?
No, as you said, I mean, he did the job because he was asked to do the job. So the question is not, and the question is not who does the job. The question is, we have a draft which is out there. Is it acceptable as it is, or does it need to be changed? And if it needs to be changed, then people who see that ought to make their views known. And the more people who do, the more people who engage with this. With this consultation, the better result we'll have at the end, I think, in terms of a balanced and a just set of guidelines.
Anybody else? Yes, please.
Isabel from the Tablet. Is there a problem with the consultation that it's very difficult for people to understand what it says?
Yes. If you've seen it, it's a 15-page document, of which something like 6 pages are a group of tick boxes. Part of the consultation is about people who may be vulnerable, people who may be disabled, people who may have mental health conditions and so on, people who may be elderly, and questions of accessibility ought to have been paramount. There ought to, at the very least, have been an open invitation also for people simply to express their views in other ways. But this is how it has been done. He has set out his method, and he's been clear that if people respond in this way, then these responses will be taken seriously. So, yes, it would have been much better if it was easier to do. But the website says that they will give help to people in terms of accessibility. I mean, it would have been better if it was easier and they wouldn't need the help. But do look to those sources that can help. Care Not Killing website has help on this. The Catholic Bishops website has help on this. It is something that people probably will need some guidance on, because it's not a straightforward consultation document.
Any other things that you'd like to follow up, talk about? I'm going to ask Michael to speak in a minute about the Friends of the Holy Land, but I don't want to take up. Yes, please.
Going back to these categories.
Yes, do you want?
John Bing from the Telegraph.
The Telegraph, thank you.
Just going back to these categories, could you possibly just spell out what your fear is for disabled people and for people who have spousal carers if this guidance isn't changed?
Well, I mean, the guidance says that that if the victim, and that's the language used in the document, if the victim is disabled or has a terminal or degenerative condition, that in itself is a reason not to prosecute the assistance of that person's suicide. That means that if, given also that these are public documents and they're given precisely as public documents, somebody who is disabled, particularly somebody who's become disabled through injury and may be suffering from depression, will read that if somebody assists their suicide, it's a less serious matter. If somebody assists their suicide, then that's reasonable, which assumes that, you know, their suicide itself is reasonable. And it paves the way for people to say, well, this looks like a sort of law by default. It's not intended in that way, but that's the way in which people might easily take it. So that these categories of people, that they're... their life is not worth defending to the same extent. And that if you have a carer, if, say, you had a carer who, perhaps because of feeling burdened by the difficulties of care, were to encourage somebody to commit suicide who was disabled, that wouldn't be the sort of case that you would prosecute, because the person was disabled. So it's quite reasonable for them to commit suicide if the person is disabled. I mean, that's a sort of the people who are actually vulnerable to pressure, the people who are vulnerable to depression, the people who are vulnerable to being feeling that they're a burden, whatever. That those are the people who are not protected by the law. I mean, that's why they need to be taken out.
So essentially, you're saying that the DPP's guidance could potentially put pressure on those people to commit suicide.
And I think the question is well answered on the summary, in paragraph 3 of the summary. With disability, it's about the protection of the law, that it should not be discriminatory against people with disability. Under the second one, a history of previous suicide attempts. I worked for quite a number of years as a Samaritan telephone counsellor. And I know very well firsthand that often people who talk about committing suicide are not the ones that are going to do it. And in fact, attempts at suicide are often cries for help. They're not indications that the person wants to commit suicide. And I think those factors are being misinterpreted here. And then the third category, as David has said, is about assuming, you know, that because there is a formal relationship of spouse or a partner or close family member, then intentions are good. And that's not an assumption that we should properly make. We should look underneath the formal relationship to see what the reality is.
On that last point about, and you mentioned domestic violence earlier, I mean, are you saying that potentially this guidance could provide a cloak for a form of murder?
Well, we just think that it should not be a category in the guidance about whether to prosecute or not. The simple fact of a relationship which is known and formally expressed is not enough. It's not a factor in itself. You have to look beyond that.